You know, there's three holy holidays all in a row. Today, Father's Day. Tomorrow is Juneteenth. And Wednesday is the summer solstice. Okay, so we have a whole slew. And here's a question for you. Perhaps, is there anything, and I had to ask myself, anything that they have in common? So just kind of being open to that. And what came to me was that all three of those holy holidays actually assist in bringing forth greater life. Father's Day brings forth life because we all had a father. We may not have had a dad, but, well, you know, there's a difference between father. But we all had a father, and maybe father figures as well. Then Juneteenth, I'm going to be speaking about that briefly, and also the summer solstice. So today's talk title is Living as a Spiritual Warrior. So there is going to be a thread that you may or may not be able to connect, but it's the thread of living as a spiritual warrior and how that applies to each of these holy holidays. Now, just FYI, my dad made his passing on the winter solstice, December 21st, 2019. I reflect on that, and I'm like, well, he knew well enough to release before 2020 COVID, right? Because he was in an assisted living facility. Now, today I am wearing his gold chain. I have his gold watch. I also have mom's watch, so they're watching me. Better do good, right? And one other piece, well, I'll share that when I get to that part. So how many of you actually know when and where and how Father's Day came to be? How many of you got your history? I kind of figured we might not have any hands for that one. So before I share that, I have a little story about Ryan. My 16-year-old brother Ryan was late out with his friends, and he realized he forgot to get a Father's Day card. Uh-oh. So he goes to the store late at night, and there are two cards over in that picked-over rack. And so he gets a card, he signs it, and he gives it to his father, and it says, "You've been like a father to me." And upon opening, the dad looked at this really puzzled, and Ryan explained, well, it was either that or the card that said, "Now I'm a father too." You know, 16-year-old, well, that's funny. So, as you know, June, the third Sunday in June, is always when Father's Day is celebrated. Now, the first one was celebrated in 1910 in Spokane, Washington. It started when Sonora Dodd, her mother had passed, and that was when Sonora was a child. So the father took over raising six children from age 3 to 16 when his wife passed. Took on a lot. Well, Mrs. Dodd thought that there should be a special day to honor fathers. I mean, there was one for honoring mothers. So it was in 1910 she spoke to the Spokane Ministerial Alliance and asked them if they could have a Father's Day. And she wanted it to be on June 5th, the first Sunday of the month, because that was her father's birthday. However, the ministers couldn't get their sermons and talks together quick enough. So it actually happened on June 19th. 1910. That was when the first Father's Day was celebrated. So the local newspapers publicized it, and of course now there was gifts appropriate for dads and fathers. Mrs. Dodd's father died in 1919, 9 years later, and the day that his daughter started in honor of him was being celebrated in the United States and soon became celebrated in most of Canada. So now you have your trivia history for today, and go ask, and now you can impress other people by telling them that, right? What year was it? Where was it? Okay, and the woman's name was Sonora Dodd. Okay, very good. You're good. Check. So I have this piece that I find very touching for Father's Day, and it is called Today is for the Fathers. Author is unknown. Today is for the fathers. It is for the grandfathers, uncles, brothers, friends, and sons. For the most important man in anyone's life, the one who gave us life. Here's to you. The dads who play endless games of go fish with their kids and always let them win. Or those that always played to win every time, thinking that their children would grow stronger through defeat. This is for the fathers who worked in factories and fields, taught in classrooms, sat in cubicles, 8 long hours a day. Here's to those who performed life-saving surgery and those who drove a truck through the long days and nights. Here's to those who loved every minute of their labor and to those who only worked so their families could survive. To the sleepless dads who have waited in silent fear that their babies wouldn't make it through the night or that their teenagers would survive their first driving alone. Those who lost children and those who found them in different ways. Here's to tears not shed or hugs not given for a fear of appearing weak. Here's to dads who built with hammer and saw and those who wouldn't know how. The fathers who were afraid of spiders and yet could slay the great dragon of fear for their little ones. The fathers who tried and those who didn't. The fathers who gave us life and walked away, and those who stayed long past the life of their marriage to give something to their children. The fathers who hurt because their children have been kept from them, and those who are both father and mother. Stay-at-home dads and stay-away dads. The one we wanted, but never knew. The helpless, hurting father and the brave, strong one. And for all the ways of fatherhood, here's to you. Did perhaps one of those lines did you relate to? It covers a very big gambit of fathers and how they may or may not have been in our lives. My own father, Wayne, is, like I said, he passed in 2019. And he had a strong Finnish culture background. In his strong Finnishness, he had a great, strong work ethic and a strong drink ethic. I didn't know that was actually Finnish until somebody taught me in culturally class that was kind of what the Finnish men were about. So I grew up with my dad, and he began in his work. Part of it was he was driving a Archway cookie truck and then a Dandy potato chip truck. And I was probably about 8 years old, maybe 9. And I would go with him on his routes out in rural Ashtabula County. And because potato chips are very light, so I could pick up boxes and I could, you know, rotate them on the shelves. I actually have here it's a keychain, but it's also measuring, and it says on it, Dandy chips and pretzels, candy and novelties, and a phone number. This was my dad's, and I, because I got to work with him with that. So my dad graduated from that. My grandfather had a grocery store in Geneva, Ohio. And my dad had the understanding that people are always going to need food, right? So grocery business was in the background from the grandfather. So he purchased in the 1970s a plot of land and built from the ground up this grocery store, Luoma's Value King. And it was a one of a kind on some levels. It was the first bakery and deli, curbside service. So my dad was very much an entrepreneur. I don't even think he graduated high school, but he had this drive. And so I started working with him at age 14, cashier, age 18, I became the deli manager by a set of circumstances. So my relationship with my dad was kind of like a business related. I related well with my dad in business. He later became an auctioneer, and I worked with him there. We didn't really have a personal relationship because that kind of wasn't his personality. I mean, he'd get more personal after he had a couple drinks. He got, you know, a little more happy and verbal. So that was the relationship with my dad, Wayne. And I love dad. I love my father. And he taught me a lot, and I am grateful for him for a lot of things. But there was some things missing. And so when I was in college at age 33, I was in a group counseling, co-counseling class on how to do such, and then we have debriefing afterwards. Well, there was this teacher who was teaching this, who would come in, and we'd debrief, and then afterwards, he'd come up and give you a hug. But he just didn't give you a hug. He stopped and looked you in the eye and then gave a hug. And one day he gave me a little peck on the cheek, and I cried the entire weekend. And I didn't know what that was for, and what it was tapping into something that had been missing in my life that I didn't even know was missing. It was that kind father who knew how to have this relationship. So after this class finished, I did some work with Daddy Stewart. He got the nickname Daddy Stewart. I learned how to be a good daddy to my inner children from him. The one time he said, he was trying to get me to get into my anger. Anybody like want to avoid anger, the expression of, right? Well, he's trying to get me to do my anger. And I'm like, kind of not into that. And he looks at me and he says, I just feel like holding you like a little baby. Over my dead body, I'm not going to be that vulnerable. And then he says these words, I'm willing to pick up my end of the stick. I was like, if I had a stick, I'd hit you. But he presented the challenge. He was willing to do his part. Was I willing to do mine? Okay, fine. So he sat, moved over onto the couch. I sat on the couch, put my head on his chest. He put his arm around me, and I dissolved into tears, bucket of tears, right? Hadn't had that kind of affection from my own father and such. So I continued working with Stuart. We had play days. He read me a kid's story and I cried through it. It was things that I never really had. And I learned how to be, again, a good daddy to my own self, because I've learned that's good to reparent your oneself. And we're still friends today. You know, I got to see him actually last year. So I did my grief for my dad, my anger, which was always the cover for the hurt and the sadness and the grief. And then one day, the light bulb, you know, you get finished, you get tired of doing your anger and you're sad. I had this revelation. My dad never had a Daddy Stewart. It just broke my heart open. It was compassion. My dad couldn't give me something that he didn't ever have himself. So my resentment, my anger, my hurt, that went away. And it was just compassion for this man who was doing what he knew as his love. His love, his way of showing love, was to provide family, work hard. He also raged at times. And that rage, we walked around on tiptoes. Another revelation. I realized one day, that's how my dad shows love. He would feel helpless. And it's very vulnerable to feel helpless. And so instead of being vulnerable and helpless, he'd get mad. And I went, oh, I would never have thought his rage was the only way he knew how to express his love. I was like, who knew, right? So anyone else ever done parent work and forgiveness and such? Yeah, you know, you learn things. And hopefully you grow, because I didn't want to continue being the little girl that only felt that. I wanted to learn more. There is a movie. How many of you know the movie Smoke Signals that came out in 1998? Anyone? It's a great, great story. It's about an indigenous family on the reservation, and Victor is estranged from his father who lived in Phoenix, and really didn't like his father because he had been abusive, alcoholic, and didn't really want anything to do with his father, very angry and hurt. So the story goes, and there's a lot to the story, but they travel, him and Thomas, his friend, and again, I can't tell this story, but they travel to Phoenix, and they're going through the stages of different things, and they learn some things about Father Arnold. And at the very end, there is this dialogue from Smoke Signals. It's Thomas Builds the Fire, his name, the end monologue. And it really touches my heart. It's called Forgiving Our Fathers. How do we forgive our fathers? Maybe in a dream. He's in your power. You twist his arm. But you're not sure it was he who stole your money. You feel calmer, and you decide to let him go free. Or he's the one, as in a dream of mine, I must pull from the water, but I never knew it or wouldn't have done it until I saw the street theater play so close up. I was moved to actions I'd never taken before. Do we forgive our fathers for leaving us too often or forever when we were little? Maybe for scaring us with unexpected rage or making us nervous because there never seemed to be any rage at all? Do we forgive our fathers for marrying or not marrying our mothers? For divorcing or not divorcing our mothers? And shall we forgive them for their excesses of warmth or coldness? Shall we forgive them for pushing or leaning, for shutting doors, for speaking only through layers of cloth, or never speaking, or never being silent? Do we forgive our fathers in our age, or in theirs, or in their deaths? Saying it to them, or not saying it? If we forgive our fathers, what is left? What is left if we forgive our fathers? I think this is one of the most powerful pieces. Obviously, I needed to find it. It's actually Forgiving Our Fathers by Dick Laurie, courtesy of Hanging Loose Press. That touched my heart so much after I saw the movie, I had to go find it. Forgiving is the act of a spiritual warrior. Forgiving means that we're willing to go through the pain, the hurt, the anger, and the grief, and someday release the judgment, because it's pulling us down. We can't be free until we forgive. To let go, and for me, it's about forgiveness. It's about letting go of judgment, to just release it and let it go. If we forgive our fathers or anyone for any fact, what's left? Well, I would say that there would be peace left. It would be peaceful and calm and more open. So I'm going to be talking just a little bit about this spiritual warrior, which is the masculine aspect of ourselves. It doesn't matter what gender you are. Everyone has masculine energy, which is directive. It's about deciding and doing. And then we have the feminine, which is about reflecting and receptivity. There's a time when you're in your warrior self, which is your masculine, and you have to do things, or your feminine, where you're more free. Anyone ever feel like an airhead, like you're just like, I can't get focused, I need to get focused, right? That's when you're in your divine feminine. I had Sandy Cave would say, I'm such an airhead. I said, you're just in your divine feminine. Or there's times where I'm like, I have to get focused. I need to pull my spiritual warrior up, my masculine, and get into doing. There's times where I worked as a substitute teacher, and it was doing, doing, doing. And I'd leave there, and I'd go into the grocery store, where I feel very much at home, by the way, because growing up in a grocery store. But I go into the grocery store, I'm like, I'm home. You know, I act as if I own every grocery store because, you know, you're a teenager, and that's what you learned. But I'd go in and I'd just wander around the store because I need to be in my divine feminine and just not be focused. So the idea is to know when to engage in your spiritual warrior or your spiritual wizard, and the wizard being the feminine. A few examples are, I actually went to a wizard camp and a warrior camp. That was interesting, to say the least. The warrior's way is the way of action. The wizard's way is the way of attraction. The warrior achieves, and the wizard receives. The warrior sets goals. The wizard sets intentions. The warrior has the ability to focus, and the wizard has the ability to flow. Warriors overcome their limits, and the wizard has no limits. The warrior creates miracles, and the wizard receives miracles. So that kind of gives you a little bit of flavor between the two. We all have this warrior self, and for me, I need to engage in it more, because here's a few of the attitudes of the warrior. I'm a warrior, and I act in spite of my fear. I'm a warrior. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm a warrior. I'm willing to do what's hard, maybe like forgiving. And here's the big one. I'm a warrior, and I act in spite of my mood. Okay, how many of you go, well, I'm not in the mood to clean or straighten or go to the gym? Okay, how's that working for you? My God self would go, get up, you're going to the gym. I need to actually get that part of me back, because I'd like to start going to the gym, and I'm kind of like, I'm not in the mood. Yeah, great spirit is working with me on that one. So it's these attitudes of a warrior, and that we have that power inside of us to engage with the warrior self. But the key is to know which one to use when. When you are needing focus, or when you need to let go of focus, right? There is the Serenity Prayer. You all familiar with the Serenity Prayer?
Oh, yes.
Yes? Uh-huh. Oh, yes, I heard that. So here's an interesting thing about the Serenity Prayer. It says, God, grant me the serenity of things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Well, I think that's actually the wisdom. I know it's warm in here. Can we turn? I'm like, can we do something with it? Because you're fanning yourself. I'm like, yeah, you can fan me too. Those things that I spoke of, the wizard is the one that accepts things I cannot change. The warrior is the one that has the courage to take action and change things, and you need the wisdom. So you have the three W's. You have the wizard, you have the warrior, and you have wisdom. And to know which one I need to engage in. It's really a powerful thing to understand that you have masculine, feminine, wizard, and warrior energies inside of us. So, engaging in the warrior is to be willing to do the forgiveness. And I'm going to talk now about Juneteenth. And it's all about free. My word for you today, you know I have to give you an acronym, right? So free, to be free to have a greater life. Number one, forgive. Now we're going to look at Juneteenth. How many of you are aware of what Juneteenth is about? Okay. We got some more hands. That's great. A few more hands about that than Father's Day. So, and I want to thank Emily. Emily's in the house. My military, civilian, equity, equality, justice, diversity. So she sent me something. I was like, I love how spirit gives me things. I don't have to go working very hard. Juneteenth is actually America's newest holiday, and it's observed always on June 19th to mark the official end of slavery in the United States. The day has been celebrated by Black Americans as a symbol of their emancipation. But the story behind the holiday and how Juneteenth got its meaning starts more than 150 years ago in Galveston, Texas. President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863, as the nation had entered into the Civil War, the third year. This proclamation declared that the 3 million slaves living in the Confederate states were free. But for those that were isolated from the Union armies, life continued as if the Emancipation Proclamation did not exist. This was the case in Texas, where thousands of slaves were unaware of their declared freedom. It happened to be on June 19th, 2 years later, in 1865, that the Major General Gordon Granger and the Union Army troops marched to Galveston, Texas, to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation. They freed over 250,000 black Americans that were the last enslaved people in Texas. Opal Lee, also known as the grandmother of Juneteenth, I love stories. This played a large part in making Juneteenth a federal holiday. Lee campaigned for decades to make Juneteenth a national holiday. At the age of 89, she conducted a symbolic walk from Fort Worth, from which she departed in September 2016 to Washington, D.C., where she arrived in January 2017. She's 89. She's walking from Fort Worth to D.C. over 4 months. It was in June of 2021, at the age of 94, Lee's efforts succeeded in making Juneteenth a federal holiday, and the holiday was passed by Congress and signed into law by President Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe, for Pete's sakes. I mean, this is a very important. She was also an honored guest at the bill signing, which is really cool. Now, the thing is that despite this emancipation, African-American communities continue, as we mostly know, face innumerable hardships due to the history of enslavement, legalized segregation, and inequitable access to opportunities. So what I look at is that this is a time for us individually to recommit to standing up for all beings. And the two ways that you can recommit your life or commit your life, if you haven't even done that part, is to do two things that we have here at Unity. One of them is we have an anti-racist Zoom meeting, and ours is happening this coming Thursday at 6 o'clock. And we also have a book in our bookstore and also online at our Unity bookstore, which is called Do the Work. It's an activity fun book. Anybody like to have fun? Yep, okay, a few of you, all right. It's a book that you can educate. It's about anti-racist, and you learn things. You just pick one exercise and you do it. So to be recommitting to the idea of equity, of freedom for all beings, because this war, civil war, is not over, and I have to do my part. If I'm not doing my part, I'm actually adding to the problem in what I have learned for myself. So we started this class and this group a year ago. So you're invited to join. So now we're going to move quickly into, I know, trying to do three different celebrations. So you got the F for forgive, R for recommit or commit to recognizing the divine in all and equity. We've got the summer solstice, and that's about the longest day of the year, as you may know. It's about honoring the light, and it's part of the cycle. In the spring, we plant our intentions. We plant seeds. And in the summer, what we want to do, the words are be patient. Be patient, because if you're going to the seeds and going, where are they growing? How come they're not there yet? Or with your intentions. I set these intentions. Nothing's happening. In fact, it's worse. Anybody ever set an intention, it gets worse? That's a good sign, actually. A rose, actually, when it opens and it closes. It opens and it closes. It opens a little more. So if you have a contraction, perhaps it's part of the opening. So for your summer solstice, it's a time to remember your intentions, and if you haven't set any, this would be a good time to engage in setting intentions. Now, if you set intentions, part of your intentions could be to affirm, I am patient. Okay, let's try that. I am patient. Mm-hmm. Sure. I am patient. I am open. I trust. That's the important thing. Patience is trusting. Trusting that the universe is behind the scenes, underneath the ground, bringing forth my intentions and yours. So we want to, on the F-R-E, engage in setting intentions. Engage in setting intentions. To nurture, to be patient, to trust the universe is doing its work. And also just to love yourself. Set your intentions. And the last E, and on the solstice, it's really important to, it's always important to express gratitude. So the last E is to express gratitude. It says, expressing gratitude is a good thing to do on any day, but especially on a solstice. Write your gratitude statements. Write your intention statements and your gratitude statements on the solstice Wednesday. For everything you possess and everything you want to come your way. Part of the manifestation process, as you may know, is to actually feel gratitude for what we want before we get it. When you thank the universe for something that hasn't arrived yet, it's like the universe goes, they're thanking me for something I haven't even brought forth. It kind of speeds it up, perhaps, because we're thanking the universe. We trust. It's an act of trust to say thank you to the universe for something that hasn't arrived yet. So we're telling the universe that we trust that our wishes are fulfilled. So now you're ready to be set free, right?
Right.
I know, some of you are sleeping. Wake up. So do you want to be set free?
Yes.
One more time.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. It's energy. So to be free, we're forgiving. We're recommitting to life, good life for all. We're expressing or engaging in intentions in E. We are expressing what?
Gratitude.
Very good. So I'm going to set you free.